Okay, so how are you guys doing today? So I'm honored to be able to come up here and give you the word of God. And I just want to tell you about my morning for a second, because you know how the devil attacks. Okay, so I'm supposed to be preaching about love. So I'm trying to get to church, and I have on a Christian minister listening to a sermon about love. I'm just like, get in the flow, praying and everything. And I have to turn right, and I put my signal on, and I go to turn right, and I see the guy in the lane speeding up. But I've already committed, and the guy that the lane I was in was going, I didn't want him to slam into the back of me, so I go on and get over. Well, he comes on my right where there is no lane, up on the sidewalk to get back in front of me, right? And we're driving, and then he slams on brakes. And I, fortunately, I'm able to not run into the back of him. And I'm turning right. He's getting in. Then he gets in the left lane. He's rolling down his window and just calling me everything but a child of God. I haven't heard all those words in a while. But I know that this message on love is needed, because Satan was on it this morning. You hear me? He was on it. So let's just, you know what? Oh, I got a joke. Here's my joke. I was going to say let's pray, but before we get all holy, listen to my joke. Oh, I have two. A young lady visited a computer dating service and requested, "I'm looking for a spouse. Anybody there? Can you please help me to find a suitable one?" The matchmaker said, "What exactly are you looking for?" "Well, let me see. He needs to be good looking, polite, humorous, sporty, knowledgeable, good at singing and dancing, willing to accompany me the whole day at home during my leisure hour if I don't go out, be able to tell me interesting stories when I need a companion for conversation, and be silent when I want to rest." The matchmaker entered the information into the computer and in a matter of moments handed the results to the woman, and the results said, "Buy a television." You know, sometimes we have our expectations so far up that we have flaws too, ladies, right? And sometimes we can't appreciate the person God's put in front of our face. Take a look at those you already know, those who are looking for a mate. Might be right there, and you're just putting your standards so high you can't even see it. Amen? That was extra preaching. Wasn't even on my message, all right? Here's my other joke. At the end of the first date, a young man takes his favorite girl home. Emboldened by the night, he decides to try for that important first kiss. With an air of confidence, he leans with his hand against the wall. And smiling, he says to her, "Darling, how about a good night kiss?" Horrified, she replies, "Are you mad? My parents will see us." "Oh, come on, who's gonna see us at this hour?" "No, please, can you imagine if we get caught?" "Oh, come on, there's nobody around, they're all sleeping." "No way, it's just too risky." Oh, please, I like you so much." No, I like you too, but I just can't." "Yes, you can, please." No, I just can't. "Please." Then out of the blue, the porch light goes on, and the girl's sister shows up in her pajamas. Her hair is disheveled, and a sleepy voice, the sister says, "Dad says to go ahead and give him a kiss, or I can do it, or if need be, he'll come down and do it himself. But for crying out loud, tell him to take his hand off the intercom." All right, we all need to pray? I think so. Oh, Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you just use me as your vessel to bring the word that every woman in here needs to hear, that it just leave an indelible imprint on our hearts so that we are changed. Teach us to love, to show love, to give love, and to receive love from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's February. We're having a big Galentine's, is that how you say it, day celebration next week. And I love Valentine's Day, and I love the month of February. I mean, it's Black History Month. You got all this. It's the month of love. Amen? And it's also, Valentine's Day is the day when my firstborn baby girl was born, Jenna. So it changed for me 28 years ago, and it'll never be the same. So it's a great month, and it's the month of love. And in preparing this message, I was looking up Valentine's Day. Do you guys know how it started? Okay, let me tell you, because it's a cute little story. So there was a Catholic priest who lived in Rome in the 3rd century, and his name was Saint Valentine. Well, the emperor of Rome at that time, his name was Claudius II, and he felt that the soldiers should, their allegiance should be, their full devotion should be only to Rome. And so he made a law that none of the soldiers could get married. But Saint Valentine, on the down low, was marrying Christians, people in this Christian ceremony, and it wasn't found out for years. But when it was found out, he was sentenced to die. So while he was in prison, he prayed for people, he made friends with people, and one of the people that he made friends with was one of the jailer's daughters who was blind. So legend has that he actually prayed for her, and her blindness went away. She was healed. And right before he was about to die, he wrote her a letter because he fell in love with her. And he signed it, "Your Valentine," okay? And then 200 years later, that was 290, the year 290. And then 200 years later, February 14th was the day that he died. They made it a holiday. Isn't that cute? Well, what happens sometimes in the month of February, while everybody's talking about love, is that we start comparing our lives and the love that we have to other people, right? They say that there is almost $14 billion spent on dinner, candy, gifts, and flowers for Valentine's Day, right? And if you feel unloved, this is the month when Satan is going to be speaking to your mind. Amen? You know, the world thinks they know about love. They've written all these songs. We got All You Need Is Love by the Beatles. You know that song? All right. Well, is all you need is love? All you need is the love of Jesus, right? I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston. Well, you know, that kind of love, they can be kind of fickle. They say, I will always love you, and then they divorce you, or they leave you, or they cheat on you, or whatever, right? When a man loves a woman, his name was Percy Sledge, she can do no wrong, initially. Endless love, Lionel Richie, is endless until we fall out of love, because I don't love him anymore. I mean, we work with the marrieds, we counsel people, and it's just like, I hear it all the time, you know, I just don't love him anymore, all right? How deep is your love, the Bee Gees? Well, obviously not too deep if it's not everlasting, amen? So as long as we are looking for perfection in love, we can never feel love or be at peace. We're looking for what we see on all the Hallmark channels. Did you watch all Hallmark all of December like me? I mean, I love it. Boy meets girl, something happens where they're apart, but oh, in the end, they get back together, they fall in love, and it's, you know, happily ever after. You know, you got enough drama and sadness in your own life. Watch a Hallmark movie and see what real love is. Amen? So we can't talk about love without reading 1 Corinthians 13. The word love occurs 686 times in the New International Version of the Bible. Did you know that? If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, love never fails. I saw this poem, what's her name? Rebecca Barlow Jordan. And she kind of summarized my message, so I wanted to read it to you. God's love can turn revenge into mercy, hatred into forgiveness, anger into patience, and fear into faith. God's love can change pride into humility, selfishness into generosity, despair into hope, and hostility into peace. So, the title of today's message is Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do with It? Love has everything to do with it, okay? Because God's love, not the love that you heard about in those songs, or the love that you see on the Hallmark movies, or the love that, you know, magazines and social media have put before your eyes, but God's love gives us the grace to forgive ourselves, to forgive others. God's love gives us the power to love those who are unlovable, like the guy that was cussing me out this morning. God's love helps us to look past the things that we feel like we want, to see what other people need and to give. God's love can instantaneously take away our addictions for cigarettes or drugs or weed or whatever thing that we, alcohol, amen? God's love is a love that gives you the power to get up every morning when you know the situations that you're going to face. Amen? It's because of the love of God. I don't think that you can live in this world without God's love and find any joy or any happiness. God's love saved us. It redeemed us. It set us free from the curse of the law. It takes the broken and the people that are hurting, and it makes them royalty. His love is eternal, and it's everlasting. And his love, according to 1 John 4, drives out fear. We don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to wake up afraid of what's going to happen in this circumstance or that circumstance. That's the devil speaking into your mind. All we have to do is stand on the word of God. His love saved us by grace when we were dead. We were dead, but he has made us alive, new creatures in Christ, because he loved us. Amen? He poured his love on us, and now we are his children. We can be called the children of God. While we were still sinners, he died for us. And the verse that sums it all up of what love truly is John 3:16. For God so loved that he gave. That's what love is about. It's about giving. So in the English language, when we say, oh, I love that show. Oh, I love that cake. Oh, I love that dress. We have one word. We say, oh, I love my husband. And I love God. We have one word, but there are several words that mean love. There is storge, and this is a Greek word, and this is the love of brothers and sisters or parents for their children. Okay, you don't feel the same way toward your child as you do toward God or toward your spouse. There is eros, and that's a Greek word for the romantic love that you feel toward your spouse. Okay, there's philia, and this is the love that an emotional deep bond between friends. And there's agape. Now, agape is the highest form of love. It's the love that God shows. It's this immeasurable, incomparable, endless love that the world tries to make us think falls on a person. It's that God love that's sacrificial. For God so loved the world that he gave. So turn with me to Romans 5:5. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So that sounds like, you know, that word shed, it's a Greek word, and it's, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's ekachute. And it means poured, use it when you're pouring out water. So he shed his love in our hearts. He poured, it means an abundance has been poured into our hearts. Well, why don't we feel it? Why aren't we able to show it? Why don't we know that it's there? You know, well, love is one of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And you know, sometimes that fruit is green and small. And we aren't cultivating it, fertilizing it, and making it grow and flourish in our lives because we don't understand it. Amen? Our hope, it says, our hope maketh not ashamed, or our hope will not disappoint us. What hope won't disappoint us? Because people disappoint us all the time. People are not perfect, and people will let you down. If you put your hope in a man, you can be guaranteed that something's going to happen where you're disappointed. But what hope will not disappoint? It's not that we love God, it's that he loves us, and it will never, ever change. God chases after us. Whether we are sinners, and he's knocking at the door to your heart every day saying, come and accept me into your life, or whether we're Christians, and he's trying to mold us and shape us into the woman that he would have us to be. God is chasing after you. You know, have you heard that story with the little boy goes into the pet store, and he's in love with this little black and white puppy. And he says, I have 75 cents. Can I buy this puppy? And the owner says, that puppy's $75, son. And so he's very disappointed. And then he sees the lady bring in a mom with her litter of puppies. And they're cute. They're little black and white puppies also. And lagging about 3 or 4 feet behind the litter is one little runt. And he's limping. And the little boy says, can I get that one? And the store owner says, oh, you don't want that one because he was born without a hip socket. And he won't be able to fetch the stick with you or play ball with you or do any of the things that little boys like to do. And the little boy raises his pants leg and he shows that he had polio and he has a brace on. And he said, that's the one that I want. That's the one that needs the love. And that's what God did for you. God said, I want her. The one that was raped for so many years that's hurting. I want her, the one that's going through divorce right now and doesn't think she can make it another day. I want her, the one that whose father never told her that he loved her or never had parents. The one that was born by two drunks and given up for adoption. I want her. I want her, the one who doesn't feel good about herself because she was never told how beautiful she is. I want her who someone never told about Jesus. I want to make her like me. I want to clean her up. I want to make her righteous. I want her to know that her sins are washed away and that she is special. That's the one that I want. Look at Romans 8:35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demon, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. You know, this is Paul saying that neither height nor depth or anything will separate us. But do you believe it? You know, we believe it until we've been praying and we don't see the answer to our prayers. And then we're like, well, maybe he doesn't love us. Or maybe because I did this sin. Maybe because I'm not as holy as she is, he's not hearing my prayer. Pastor just told us this morning that God is no respecter of persons. He does not show partiality. That means if he healed her, I can believe God he's going to heal me. It's just a matter of time. If he helped her in her finances, I can stand on the word of God for my finances. Amen? What mother or father is going to feed and clothe one child and have the other one hungry and naked? God does not show partiality. If you know anybody in the Bible or know anybody today in 2019 that got a prayer through, you can stand on that same word that they stood on because God loves you. No height, no depth, or anything will separate you from his love. He chases after you. He wants you to know him in a real way. And it's easy to stand up here and raise our hands and say, oh, I love you, God, I love you, God, but you don't know the depth and the height that he loves you. You don't know who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen? So Today's message is four things to cultivate the love of God. Remember, it's been poured like a bucket into our hearts, right? It's there, but now we have a little, maybe unripe fruit of the Spirit. You know, I got lots of unripe fruit. I'm not that good in patience, that long-suffering one. You know, I'm working on love. You know, can I get a witness? Am I the only one? But this today, we're going to learn how to cultivate that love that's been poured out in our hearts. So my four points are going to be, we need to learn how to love ourselves. We need to learn how to love others. We need to learn how to love God. And then lastly, and probably most importantly, we need to learn how to receive the love of God. So those are our four points. So let's talk about loving ourselves, because you can't love God or anybody until you learn to love yourself. There are people in here that have dealt with self-rejection. You know, you don't accept yourself. You're always beating up on yourself. You are not happy with the person God made you. And in Jesus' name right now, I want to say, stop it. Stop it. You are criticizing the Lord God. He's the creator. You look in the mirror and you don't like what you see. Why? Because you're comparing yourself to somebody else. You know, when our hair is curly, we want it straight. If we're brunette, you wanted it blonde. If you got blue eyes, oh, if they were only brown. I'm talking to women, so I know this is what we do. Oh, my hips are too big. I wish I had a body like hers. And she's wishing. She feels like she looks like a stick, and she wishes she had your curves. We are never happy. We have to stop not accepting ourselves and accept who we are. Maybe we are not. This is not to say that you are perfect. You know, this is not to say that you know, maybe you can lose some pounds and you're just like, I just accept myself and my unhealthy body the way I am. No, still try to lose weight if that's what you want to do. But don't get in condemnation over it. Amen. Some people, self-hatred. You know, you just say, I'm just so dumb. You know, the next time you say a negative about yourself, I want you to catch it. Oh, I'm so ugly. Oh, that was so stupid, Vanessa. Would you just stop talking negative about yourself? Catch yourself and zip it. Just like you do for other people, if you can't say anything positive about you, just be quiet. Unforgiveness or bitterness keeps us from loving ourselves. You keep holding something against yourself. You knew it was sin. You did it. There's a consequence. And now you can't get over it. God says he's forgotten it. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed it. He doesn't even recall it, but the devil keeps reminding you. So you're so hard on yourself. Amen? And now you're in unforgiveness towards you. How could I have been so stupid? I got 7 kids, and now I'm pregnant. I knew not to give that man all the money, and now we have nothing for the rent. I knew not to let him move in again after he beat me up the first time, and now here I am here again. We make mistakes. We are imperfect. The point is, now that you know, what you're going to do? Start from today, ground zero, and make the right choices. And when you mess up, guess what? 1 John 1:9 says, he is just, when you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you. The only person that's holding it over your head is you. Low self-esteem. You always see yourself as a failure. You see yourself less than those around you. Oh, but she preaches so well. Oh, but she, her family is so wonderful. My kids are, you know, you're comparing. You can't compare. Somebody always comes up as less. You're feeling worthless, good for nothing. Isaiah 43:25 says, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. Never means never. Psalm 103:12 says, he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. So I was reading on that verse. So they say, you know, there's a North Pole and there's a South Pole, but the east and the west is everlasting. And that word in the Greek is Kedem, K-E-D-E-M. It just means forever. You know, they're gone. If you confessed them and you truly repented, now this is not if you plan on committing the same sin tomorrow. You're living with somebody like, Lord, I am so sorry, but you haven't kicked them out. Not the same thing. So when you find yourself condemning yourself and saying negative things about yourself, you need to change your speech. And you need to just start, you know, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He, you know, you had to say, I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God. I am a new person, a new creation in Christ, and I got a whole new life. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. I am a friend of Jesus. I am God's incredible work of art. I am one that he knew in the womb, and he has called me to a purpose. Amen. I am spiritually alive. I am a citizen of heaven. I am created in his very likeness, so I am beautiful. I am God's messenger to the world. All of us are ambassadors of Christ. Amen. I am the salt of the earth, and everywhere I go, I'm not going to compare myself because I'm going to add my special, unique flavor and touch and preserve those who are around me. I am the light of the world. When I walk in the room, darkness has got to flee. Amen. I am greatly loved, and there's neither no height nor depth that can ever separate me from the love of God. You got to encourage yourself. You have to learn to love yourself. Amen. You have to learn how to love others. This is a little bit more difficult, possibly. You know, love is called the universal language. So do you know how to speak it? You know, my daughter and I got this free program online, Duolingo. Have anybody tried it? So we've been competing and trying to learn Spanish, okay? It's really fun. It's an easy way to, well, we're not too advanced right now, but I plan on being totally fluent, so anybody that speaks Spanish has come up to me and we can parlay. But you have to learn, to learn a language, they say the best thing to do is connect with a native speaker and speak it. So if we're trying to learn how to talk the universal language of love, what's the best thing for us to do? Get around people who are demonstrating the love of God in their life. Hang around with other saints, amen, and try to talk the talk and walk the walk that they're doing. The other way to learn the language is to study it every day. So we got to seek God. We got to see, how can I be a blessing? We have to look where we used to overlook to see where somebody's in need. Where can I demonstrate the love of God? They're there. People are there. But we welcome. We're like, how you doing, sister? You never wanted to hear my answer. I'm actually not doing good. I needed prayer. Could you slow your roll? You know, it's like, not today because I got this. I'll just try to be polite. I didn't really want to hear all of that, right? And we got to carry a dictionary. You know, when we went to, had the blessing of going to Europe last summer, and that Google Translate, is wonderful, okay? You got to carry that dictionary. You're like talking to the Uber driver. I'm like, say what you want to say to me in the phone. And then I'm like, oh, he's asking us this, that, and whatever. It's wonderful. And then we say, no, we want to go to the restaurant that has this. And then he read it. He's like, oh, okay. So you got to have your dictionary. Guess what your dictionary is? The Bible. Carry your Bible. It's the manual to your success in the universal language of love. Amen? And then you got to watch, listen, and read and write in your language. I'm not there yet. I can't watch any Spanish channels and really know and understand what they're saying. But that is the goal, right? And so we need to get Christian tapes. Go to services where, you know, get more of the word. Go to Wednesday night service. Watch the word online. Whatever you need to do, start keeping a journal so you can see the faithfulness of God. You can write down, I needed this, and on this date, he came through, and I needed that. On that day, he came through. So now that I'm believing for this big thing, I know that he's going to come through. Amen? The parable of the Good Samaritan, do you know that? There was Luke? I think it's Luke 30. I didn't write down my address. I think it's Luke 30. And a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Look after him." He said, "And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." We have to stop looking past, and we have to be like that good Samaritan and take a little time. I mean, if you're a little late for your meeting, is the world going to end? You know, you have to start getting your priorities back in line. You know, God wants you to be his hands, his feet, his voice here on the earth. Amen? I found this little story that I think will illustrate the point. A man married a beautiful girl. He loved her very much. One day, she developed a skin disease. Slowly, she started to lose her beauty. It so happened that one day her husband left for a tour. While returning, he met with an accident and lost his eyesight. However, their married life continued as usual. But as days passed, she lost her beauty gradually. The blind husband did not know this, and there was not any difference in their married life. He continued to love her, and she also loved him very much. One day, she died. Her death brought him great sorrow. He finished all her last rites and wanted to leave that town. A man called him and said, "Now, how will you be able to walk all alone? All these days, your wife used to help you." He replied, "I am not blind. I only acted blind because if she knew I could see her skin condition due to a disease, it would have pained her more than her disease. I didn't love her for her beauty, but I fell in love with her caring and loving nature. So I only pretended to be blind. I only wanted to keep her happy." Is that beautiful? I'm not saying he was right. I would have kind of been mad, but I'm just saying, I don't think it's a true story, but I read it and I said, wouldn't that be to give yourself at the expense of somebody else is the point of that story, okay? So we need to love ourselves, we need to learn how to love others, and we need to learn how to love God. Mark 12:30 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Deuteronomy 7:9, "Understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands." Romans 8:28, "And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." And John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So God tells us all throughout the Bible, I mean, I could go scripture after scripture, that the way to love God is through what? Obedience. "If you love me, I will keep your commandments." And that's his highest commandment right now, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? So we're to love him, and the way to love him is by being obedient. And a lot of times we get on our knees and we're praying, "Lord, I need this, and if you could fix that, and heal them, and save them." And while we're in that moment where the Holy Spirit is there, that still small voice will speak to us and say, "I need you to do this." And you will be like, "And like I said, could you just heal them and fix this and give me more of that and take away that?" And then the Holy Spirit will say, "And I need you to stop." And you'll say, and just save so-and-so, Lord, save them. And you just, it's a still small voice. It's in your spirit. You know what to do, but you don't want to do it. Amen? In Matthew 19, he was talking to the young man. He says, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard what Jesus said, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So the young man approached Jesus and said, I want to go with you. What must I do to be saved? Well, just tell me. And he told him, he said, nah, I won't do that. Right? We're asking God for stuff, and he's speaking to us, and we're like, and you're saying, how come I keep on praying for, it has not, he's not a, he is a respecter of person, because I've been praying, just like she's been praying, it's not fair, because she got this. And what has God spoken to you, though? Have you been obedient? Amen? We have to get our priorities back in order. We have to be at the point where we love him with all our hearts and all our souls, like he loves us. So I want you to take a minute and think, how much time are you giving to God? I mean, we love our husbands and our children. We spend time with them, don't we? We spend time because how can you love somebody that you don't know? So we spend time with them. How much time are you giving to this God that you know, that you love, to get to know him? Amen? How much time do you spend talking to him? Do you ever just sit and bask in his presence? Or have you not carved out that portion of your day? It's just too busy. He just can't fit him in today. How much time do you spend just listening to what he has to say? Or are you just doing all the talking, a monologue? Or do you allow him to talk? And do you listen? And do you obey? The key to you saying, I do love God, is your obedience to God. Amen. And learning to receive the love of God is a big one. Because we receive love based on our past, based on our experiences. If we weren't loved, you know, back in the day, it was my mom never told me that she loved me because her mom never told her that she loved her. It just wasn't a thing. Of course I love you. You're in my house. I'm feeding you. I'm clothing you. It just wasn't a thing that you said. It's different today. We hug our kids and we say, you know, I love you, whatever. But that's not how it used to be. And that was a common thing. I don't know if it's just a cultural thing, but it was a common thing. I talked to my friends and they grew up the same way. And so we were never told, we felt we were loved, probably, maybe. But we were never told we were loved. And to receive love from somebody now, it takes trust, you know. And until you have spent time with God, until you've learned to trust other people, it's hard to trust God and receive his love. So he's poured this love. He shed it abroad in our hearts. It's there. The Holy Spirit has given us the fruit of the Spirit. We all have it. But we can't feel it. We can't receive God's love because we haven't learned to trust God. We haven't spent enough time with God. We don't really know God. You know, some people would say maybe that they know my husband, Larry. Well, they know him maybe as my husband. They might know him as Reverend Larry. But they don't know him like I know him. I know him as a father, as a businessman. I know him, you know, in 10, 20 different ways than you know him. And we may know one aspect of God, but he's so deep. You know, do you know that he is Jehovah Shammah? That he will never leave you or forsake you? That he is Jehovah Rohi? You know, you have to know all aspects. Has he ever healed you? Do you know him as a healer? Do you know him as a lawyer? Because he sits at the right hand of the Father, always making intercession for us. And we need it, amen? How do you know him? Maybe you don't know him like I know him because of my experiences. And I don't know him like you know him. And that's why we need each other. Don't avoid the assembling of the saints, because you can pour into me. As iron sharpens iron, the countenance of one man sharpens another. And we need each other. I want to know him fully and completely. Amen? You know, when you do trust, my granddaughter was over, and she's 3. And we were doing, you know how you fall backwards into somebody's arms? You know, I'm trying to tell, I shouldn't have done it, because I'm trying to say, make sure I'm there. She's just so willing to, woo, you know, thinking I'm there and playing the game. And she has no fear because she totally and completely trusts me. Now, you are not going to be so apt to do it if you don't trust the person. Amen? I was going to say my husband. I don't know if his back might get a kink and he might miss me or something. But if it's somebody that you truly trust, you might, you know, that's a childish game because I'm like, I'm big now. I don't know. I'll have to size them up and see if you know, they can catch me. And then, you know, when you go to fall back, you kind of just glance like, you there? You ain't playing no game. Like, you know, in middle school, they used to step aside and you just bust your head on. But you got to know, you got to trust. You know, you got to trust like a child jumping into a pool, into the arms of their father. You know, you don't know, you don't see the path for your next step, but God knows. And you got to step anyway. Amen? You've prayed, you believe in, and you maybe are a new Christian or not, and he's lighting up the path, but only one step at a time. I want to see the light at the end of the tunnel to make sure I'm on the right road. Like, this is kind of curvy. There's mountains, Lord. There's obstacles. Is this the right way? And he just light up one more step. And you're feeling like, but perfect love drives out fear. And just in trusting him, you take the next step. Amen? You want to see that, you know, what's down there. Is what I believe him for on this path? Is this the man to marry? Is this the job to take? Is this the road, the school my kids should go to? Lord, lead me, show me. And he only shows you that far. You got to trust God in order to receive his love because he loves us. Amen? One of the reasons we can't ever be in peace with God is because of those expectations. We're looking for perfection in every situation, so we can't rest in God. We're believing for this person to be saved, that person to be healed, this breakthrough in our finances, and we get a mindset that when this happens, I'm going to have peace. As soon as my son gets saved, I'm going to be at peace. As soon as my financial needs are, as soon as I pay off these credit cards, ooh, I'm going to be happy. Then I'm going to have joy. As soon as I meet a man, oh, then life's going to be good. I'm going to, maybe not. As soon as, instead of enjoying the moment right where you are, stop seeking perfection and realize that you are a child of God, that you are loved by God, that God has called you into this new life. He's given you a whole new start, that the past is behind you under the blood of Jesus. Stop the guilt, stop the condemnation. Enjoy and get the joy of the Lord to strengthen you right now in the here and now for what you're going through. Amen? You know, we are in charge of the married ministry, and we always, through the year, at least once a year, go through this book called The 5 Love Languages. Have you heard it? Have you done it? So The 5 Love Languages is about this. Not everybody can receive love the same way. They don't receive love the same way, okay? So, you know, you have to speak my language to help for me to feel love, all right? So maybe a husband, he likes to get back rubs. And so he feels like you love him if you give him a back rub. And you feel like he loves you if he brings you a box of candy. Oh, he took the time, he thought about me during the day, he brought me this candy, he must love me. So he's constantly rubbing your back, and you're like, why? Well, I just want some candy. And you're bringing him gifts, and he's like, can you rub my back? You guys are talking two different languages, so he's not feeling like you love him, and you're not feeling like he loves you because you're talking two different languages. So there are 5 love languages. The first is words of affirmation. This is where you are building somebody up. You're saying, oh, honey, thank you for fixing the garbage disposal. you are wonderful. I love you. You are my man. You are my hero. And I love the way you're just such a handyman. What would I do without you? Words of affirmation, okay? For you, when he comes home and he's like, the house is always so clean. The children are this, and you're just wonderful. You know, you take the time to do this. I can never live life without you. Words of affirmation. Well, you know what? God speaks the universal language, and he gives you words of affirmation. He says you are valuable. You are wonderfully made. You know, this is your love language. God can meet you right where you are. He says that I value every hair on your head. When you were knit together in your mother's womb, I had a plan for you, that you're created in my image, that you're a new creature in Christ. Amen? He can speak in your love language. Amen? The second love language is gifts. You know, you say, oh, you heard me when I said I really liked that, and you actually took time out your day and you went out and got that. That's your love language, okay? God sacrifices life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's the greatest gift that he could ever give you. He gave his life when we were in sin and had no more communication with the Lord. We could not talk to him like we can talk to him now 24/7, any time of the day. I don't even have to say a long prayer. All I got to say is the name of Jesus. Sometimes you don't even know what to say. You just say Jesus. Sometimes you don't know what to say. You just speak in the Holy Spirit. He's in you now. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to allow himself to be crucified. He didn't have to endure the shame and the mocking and the laughing. He was God. He could have come down, but he was obedient because he loved the Father. He was obedient to the Father's plan because of his love for the Father. So he gave us the greatest gift. So if you need somebody to speak to you in your love language and is giving gifts, Jesus is the one. Amen? The third gift is acts of service. This is my gift, actually. Don't tell me you love me. Just do the dishes, right? If I come home and you washed the clothes and cleaned up, I'm like, oh, thank you so much. You know, you took a burden off of me. I love acts of service. What, you know, you took my car when you saw it low and you went and filled it up. Wow, that was so thoughtful. That's my love language, okay? Well, what does God do for us? He's a healer when we're sick. He's an advocate at the right hand of the Father. He's our redeemer. He's our friend. He's our peace. By his grace, he helps us to forgive, to grow in him, to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. He's our everything. He works on our behalf. Amen? So if acts of service is what you need, Jesus said, I'll take that job. Amen? The fourth one, actually, I tied between these two. You got to take the test. You can go online and take the test for the love languages. The fourth one is quality time. And I'm like neck to neck. Acts of service, quality time. I'm right here. That's where I live. Okay? And this means undivided attention. So I always have a problem with my husband who travels all the time. And I'm like, just, we need a date night. You need to stay home. We need some me time. That's always where I'm at. Just like, okay, you've been traveling. When we get some me time, I'm a quality time person. So he can't make up for it by bringing me a box of candy when I'm acts of service and quality time. It's like, what is that? You know, we've been married, this year will be 35 years. So he should know that roses and a box of candy, he tried that a couple times and like, that doesn't get it. You need to have a date. You need to stay home. And you need to do the dishes and take me out, okay? But God spends quality time with us if we allow him to. He's there walking with us when we're in the valley, and he's there walking with us when we're on the mountaintop. He said he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's there when you're sad, and he's there when you're happy. He talks to us in our spirits through his word. He guides us where we want to go, and he shepherds us. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen? And I was looking about shepherds, and they mainly are in charge of the welfare of their flock. Amen? So, you know, David was a shepherd, and they lead the sheep where there's the best pasture to graze at. And when they've eaten all that, they move them on to another place. They are constantly looking to make sure they're not eating any poisonous plants or anything. And as a shepherd, God is watching over us. He's looking to see what are we feeding ourselves. You know, is there anything poisonous around that he needs to protect us from? So a lot of times we are protesting, like, everything was good, God. I don't know why this friendship didn't work out. This didn't work out. It could have been poison. God knows the beginning from the end, and he can move you to a different pasture to graze on instead of where you're at. But you got to trust him. You got to know how to receive the love of God and trust him when he moves you. He's looking out for you. And David, he protected his sheep. He said, I fought the lion and I fought the bear for those sheep, right? When the predators tried to come, the coyote and the wild dogs and the bears and the mountain lions, they fight against them. Well, we have an enemy, and our shepherd is protecting us because he's seeking who he can kill, steal, and destroy. He comes as a roaring lion, right? He's not a roaring lion. Who just told me this? Like he has his teeth pulled out and just making noise, you know? Yeah, so he comes as a roaring lion, but God has given us his protection. He's given us armor to put on. He's given us a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, a shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, to our offensive weapon to fight against this enemy. He's told us what to do. He's done all he's going to do. Now it's up to you and I. Amen? He's told us to resist him with the word of God, just like he did when he was being tempted in the wilderness to make him flee. He's told us what to do. And the last gift, the last of the five love languages, the last love language, is physical touch. And this is when, you know, you like your husband to give you a foot rub or a back rub or just put his arm around you, or you like to hold hands all the time and you like to cuddle and you just like to, you know, when he gives you a hug and you can just smell his smell, you know, and it just warms you or something, right? Or your kids, you know, when you give your kids a hug and they smell like, I say they smell like little chickens when they've been running outside. They've been running outside, they're all sweaty, but they're your kids and you love them and they come in all snotty-nosed and whatever. You know, I truly am in all the seasons because I'm a grandmother of 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds, about to be 3- and 4-year-olds. You know, my youngest child is 11. I have a teenager. She's about to be 14. My oldest child is 31. So I've been there, done that, know about these things, okay? But physical touch. Have you ever felt Jesus wrap his arms around you? Maybe it was a word spoken from the pulpit that was in season. Just you felt like he must know. You know, they ever read your mail? And you're just like, how did they know? You know, back in the day when I went to a Kenneth Hagin seminar, and I remember I had been just thinking on this verse, neither faith nor love, but faith that works through love, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision makes a difference. And I got to the conference, and he said, we're going to be speaking on that very verse. And I felt the love of God. I felt his physical touch, his physical presence there. And a lot of times, we don't, you know, because I wasn't raised with a mother that said, I love you or hug you, it really took the love of God to allow me to hug people. I was not a touchy-feely person, just like, okay, good, you're good. You like me good, that's good, you know? And I had to learn how to receive an embrace. It sounds silly if you've always grown up huggy-touchy family. We were not. So when somebody hugged me, you know, back when I was a teenager, it was awkward. It's just like, you know, or even in my early 20s, it was an awkward thing, like, oh, okay, good, you're good. You know, not a long one, not I really love you, a feely one, but just like, okay, it's what you want to do. Okay, cool. And God had to teach me to, you know, as you lose people in life, as you realize the preciousness of his saints, you don't know when you're going to see him again. So the next time you hug somebody, hug them like this may be the last time. Hug them like you love them. Hug them like they may not have gotten a hug all week long. Maybe they've been going through hell and back, and they need your hug. Hug him like that. Don't hug me like this anymore. I like hugs now. Don't give me no little pity pat hug. If you just like it's an obligation. If you got to do an obligation, then just keep on going. But if you're going to hug me like you love me. Let me feel it. I was listening. So afterwards, I want like 25 hugs now. I was listening to this song on the way, and I wrote down the lyrics. And you guys know Just Be Held? So listen to the words, because sometimes you're just humming the tune and you don't hear the words, and he says exactly what I want to say to you. Hold it all together. Everybody needs you strong. But life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And when you're tired of fighting, chained by your control, there's freedom in surrender. Lay it down and let it go. When you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart. It's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held. If your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I have and I always will. And not a tear is wasted. In time, you'll understand. I'm painting beauty with the ashes. Your life is in my hands. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, remember you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart. It's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held. Sometimes you just got to be held by Jesus. You just got to bask in his presence and let him wrap his arms around you and let you know that you're still loved, that he's on the throne and it's going to be okay. Even if you can only see 1 foot in front of you, that he's there with you every step of the way, that he is not a man that he should lie. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he's got this. He's got this. He's got you. So what's love got to do with it? Everything. The love of God has everything to do with it. Because we need to love ourselves. We need to love other people. We need to love God. And we need to learn to receive the love of God so we can go out as lights in this world and be a blessing to other people. So we can be the salt of the earth. So we can change circumstances and change lives and love people to life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.